Okay, if you will open your Bibles up to 2 Timothy. Hallelujah, 2 Timothy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to go into the Word of God right now. Father, the Word is our bread from heaven. It's everything that we are to live by. Father, just as we live by natural food, it is also, it's a must that we eat to stay alive physically. Father, it's just the same with the Word of God. We must eat the Word of God to live by it spiritually. And so, Father, as the Holy Spirit works through me today, I pray that it not be my lips nor my tongue that orders the revelation, but it comes by the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy here, in chapter 1, look at verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, people get this mixed up with 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, where they seem to think that when 2 Timothy was written, Paul was instructing Timothy to stir up his ministry gift. And that's not what he was referring to. He was referring to Timothy to stir up the Holy Spirit that is within him. Because that word for stir here, it comes together in two words, which literally means to stir alive again into a flame. And we were talking about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, chapter 2. It said, as the Spirit descended on all of them, it said there appeared cloven tongues like as a fire, actually sitting on each one of them. And I believe that that is a type of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what it will do for you. It will put you on fire with God. Hallelujah. You know, we've been praying for revival. God provided revival 2,000 years ago in the upper room. Pentecost, He brought revival fire for every believer. But now it's up to us to initiate that fire in us, or Paul would not have been telling Timothy, you got a lot of problems with the church that I helped you, gave you information about starting and working. He says, the problem, I know right away what your problem is, Timothy. He says, you better stir that gift up on the inside of you. How many of you know that life can be very burdensome to us? How many of you know there's a lot of cares that start cropping up, you know, in our life? And I'll tell you what, probably the most difficult position to get somebody out of when they backslide, so to speak, or get cold in their heart with the Lord is the fact of being in prosperity. Usually I notice that believers come into a lot of financial wealth and they kick back and they have a tendency to believe that money is sufficient enough. And thank God we have Jesus, but money is sufficient enough. And they lay back and they kick back on themselves. And pretty soon you find that they make every kind of plan conceivable on planet Earth for that which is natural living and forget what they are going to be doing once they pass from this life into the next. And that is what we call spiritual eternal living. And so, it's because we live in this physical body, we don't realize the influence that our inner man should be having on our life. Because the only way that we find out about our inner influence is through the Word of God. And so when we back off on the Word of God, we cease an illumination within us to what we are spiritually. And that's a proven fact, because there's depths that you can go with God. And God said that you should start out desiring the sincere milk of the Word of God, that you may grow thereby. And a lot of times we don't realize what does it mean to grow thereby. And I'll just plainly tell you that when he says that you may grow thereby, has nothing to do with your outward man. It has everything to do with your inner man growing in the Lord. And it says, though the outward man is decaying away, See, there's no future for him but dust. Though the outward man is decaying away, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There's a process that begins to take place within the soul of man once he gets saved. He develops a new conscience. It's called the God conscience. That's where he has divided himself up from his outer man and inner man. And the sad thing about it is today, I'm surprised at how many believers do not have an understanding of life after the Spirit. It seems like they only know life after the flesh. And Romans 8 deals with that concept. You cannot live your life out of the flesh before God and expect to grow thereby. You have to have an understanding of the spiritual mind and the natural mind. You have to have an understanding of those two. Thank God for the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because when he comes on in on the inside of you, he makes a distinction within your heart. He's the one that helps you sanctify the Lord in your heart. The word sanctification means literally to set you apart. And what it means here is to set you apart from what you are as a physical being. See, you are a spiritual being, you have a soul, and you live in your earthly body, or the translators put their tent, because they didn't look at housing the way we do when the scriptures were written, you know. And so, though we occupy this outer tent, yet inwardly, that's the real person that we are. But if you don't understand the machinery, if you don't understand how the machinery works, then you can't do anything with yourself until you get a revelation of how you function as a human being. You know, it's really sad how many people don't really understand that when you come into the kingdom of God, your natural mind has to be demoted. It cannot be renewed. And yet they're telling you to renew your mind, but they don't identify what mind is renewable. And yet it's very plain in Scripture. It's your inner man that is renewed, not your outer man. And that's referring also to your natural mind. Matter of fact, in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, it says your natural mind does not want to submit to anybody. It doesn't even want to submit to God, and neither will it ever be submitted to God. Because the natural mind is where that sin nature entered into your thinking and has a voice against the knowledge of God or even the Spirit of God. You know, it would be nice if we only had one thought process to deal with in our soul, but we have two. We have the natural mind and we have the spiritual mind, and both of them have voices. And there are many voices that go out in the world, but it's hard for us to distinguish what voice is saying what. Matter of fact, if you get too many voices going, you could end up in a nut house. Because you don't know which one to follow. And there are people that that happens. And so, the Holy Spirit, when he comes into your life, what he does is he removes the influence of the natural mind from the mind of the Spirit. First thing that the Holy Spirit will do, he'll give you a spiritual identity. He will give you an understanding of what it means to be circumcised in the heart, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. He knows how to get your soul to be able to distinguish the two. But that takes a process of time to do that. That's why, thank God, these songs we're singing, his grace every day, refresh in the morning and everything. Thank God that God wakes up. Well, we wake up to the same God that's always been awake. But we wake up to him. He's prepared and ready for a new day just for you called grace and mercy. Why? He knows you have to be separated from that natural way of thinking into the thinking that God thinks, the way God thinks. Amen? And he knows you and I are going to blow it. Sorry, that's not a very victorious message, is it? I got news for you. You're going to miss it. I got news for you. You're going to blow it. But I got better news for you. No matter where you miss it or where you blow it, You got God with more grace. He don't mind you getting knocked down. He just likes it when you get up. And those, the Bible's very clear that those who live out of their flesh, they don't go into spiritual growth. He says they can't please God. There's no way they can. Well, what is God supposed to do to receive from your natural being? What kind of works can you give Him out of your natural being when He declared you graveyard material on the cross? That'd be like saying, God, go back to the graveyard and get some information from it. Well, what if I walk back out into the well, I shouldn't say that. I did it once. Stupid. But anyway, we were looking for a young enough person that would live life to the fullest, and we were going to raise them from the dead. You're not supposed to go into a graveyard at night with flashlights and dig up babies, you know. We were about ready to dig up a little baby. We found a baby died, and we figured that one was has a right to resurrection. Longer life. How you think? Thank God the police saw us. Anyway, we had been classified grave robbers. That's when we were young and stupid. Boy, were we stupid. But anyway, the thing is, the Holy Spirit, when He comes into your life, you cannot, with your natural mind, you're more prone to reach out towards God, even in Scripture, with your natural mind. The only thing that you can do is learn to do the thing that will cause you to be stretched a little bit in your thinking. You know, it's one thing to live on the surface for Christ and deal with surfacey things. But eventually, you're going to have to stretch yourself. Eventually, you're going to have to stretch yourself and grow. And so God wants you to grow spiritually. As you develop spiritually, then that which you are in the natural cleans itself up. Because you take more control of your natural man, your natural being. Those who have no way of taking control of their natural being, there's no hope for them until they receive help from God. Amen? And He gave us the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, you can't even think like God until you have the Holy Spirit at work within your heart. Now, most of the time when we think about how to solve the issues that come up into our life, the first thing that you and I will always do is we'll grasp the reality of the understanding of what we know through our senses. Can I hear an amen? That's always the avenue that you go to look to make adjustments or to get help or to make changes. And listen, if you limit yourself to that realm only, then you're actually cutting God out of the equation. Now, it doesn't mean that God says don't pay attention to nothing in the natural. That's called stupidity. Because discernment qualifies for the ability to let God adjust you on how to discern things that you see through the senses. Amen? And so, when the Holy Spirit gets into a situation where you're into a lot of turmoil and a lot of fear and you don't know how to do things, then you have to simplify your life, just like I had to many times pastoring a church. I had to learn how do I simplify the dilemma I get into. Well, I told you before, and I'm telling you again, I learned to take my natural mind and ignore Him. He can't shut up. He's a jabberwocky. He won't shut up. He'll keep talking. But what you got to do is you've got to begin to do something that will cause a change in your heart to have confidence and hope in what God says about your life. And that is called praying in other tongues. And that's why Satan hates them. He wants to hit every denomination, every doctrine, everything to come against that. And he had to speak to the heart of men. That's of the devil. You don't understand it with your natural mind. And how would God want you to have something you don't understand? Well, they're going outside of Scripture to come up with that evaluation. They really are. because you got to go back to Scripture. I had people talk against me about speaking in tongues, and I said, yeah, but what about this? Well, it's all in how you interpret. This is how I interpret it. Well, this is how I interpret it. I said, how can you interpret that? Show me other Scripture that goes with that. They can't. They always come up with some philosophy somebody threw at them down the road of time in their life. Matter of fact, I've seen people come in here, and the minute I mentioned tongues, they got up and left. Well, I've seen it time and time again. Well, they got under someone that doesn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. He's surfacey Christian. He's always on the sensual side of things. Can't please God, but yet he's going to make everybody else on that same level he is. Because if he has a ceiling on him, you and I will inherit his ceiling. But if you've got the Holy Ghost in charge of your life, then you're not limited as to what God can do in your thinking. Hallelujah. Because he can do something with your natural way of thinking, because that's where your warfare is. It's found in the soul. It is the natural mind versus the spiritual mind. And they are enemies with each other. They can't come into an agreement. They hate each other, and they're going to stay in their position. And you know what I'm talking about, because if you ever run into a tragedy and learn, you can't help the situation that you're seeing. It's your natural mind that'll talk just as much as your spirit will. But it's who you listen to the most. And I've found that, man, within myself, I can't trust myself in the natural. I have been down the road of time called death. And I begin to pull myself out of that, pick myself. I told God I was desperate one day. I said, God, what do I do with myself? He said, why don't you start praying in tongues? I know that. But can't you give me more than that? You know, God told me one time, no. He says, do that. And boy, I just start praying in tongues. It rescued me. I don't know how many backsliding times in my life. I'm not saying I backslid and went back into the world. You can backslide and not go anywhere. You can backslide in the pew. And be deader than a hammer. I mean, listen, the works of the flesh is... It says in a lot of times, there are going to be men who have love for pleasure more than God, and you won't find them in church. You'll find them someplace else. Why? Because they dried up. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. There ain't a day. Well, I shouldn't say that. There ain't a day. Sometimes there ain't a day that I've gotten up not wanting to go to church. And I'm your pastor. Yeah. What part of me is that coming from? You got to know it's from the flesh. I woke up, son. I had ministers tell me, boy, I stay on fire for God. And all I'm sitting there saying, oh, my gosh, what's wrong with me? Man, I get up and I jump up. Smith Wigglesworth says, good morning, God. And I'd wake up, oh, it's Sunday. Oh, wait, I'm the pastor. Because we don't acknowledge we are flesh creatures right along with being spiritual beings. Listen, somebody said, well, if you're all spiritual, then you can't relate naturally. Where did that come from? My Bible tells me that if you develop spiritually, you have control of your outward man and things will work better for you. No, I think the further you go spiritually, the more cleansed your outer garment becomes. Hey, listen. Jude talked about it. He said he started out with the angel who were in heaven, ended up making this realm their destiny of death. He said, and there are even false prophets, men going about promising spiritual things, but their clouds have no water. He said, but you, beloved, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what got me out of complacency and lethargicness. That's what put God first place again back in my life. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And I'd go and listen to the Word of God. I'd seek the Word of God. I still do. I wake up in the middle of the night and I go through Scriptures and make sure what I'm believing is right. Man, I stay lit. But it's my spirit that desires that. And I'm going to tell you something. You stay away from ministers who don't advocate the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They can't do you any good when it comes time for your personal life in tragedy. How are you going to get out of it without the Holy Ghost? He's the one that can show you the way. He's the one that can lead you. But how dry are you? It says He can do anything, even above what we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within me. Not God, me. You know, God, I got news for you. God's turned on all the time. God's power all the time. God's awake all the time. There ain't no darkness in God. He's always light. It's here where we run into darkness. It's here where our wick gets damp. Are you following me? It's here that we got to do something. Even David said that. He said, when I made my life hell, he said God was still there. There ain't no, when I made my bed in darkness, it didn't move God. Could you imagine you're in this all this darkness, you don't know which way to go, not what to do or anything, and all of a sudden you cry out to God, and God says, I don't know, I'm as blind as you are where you're headed. What hope would you have? Thank God for the love of God. Why, in all this teaching, even when you blow it, His love is still there for you. If you're like David, you get to the point where everything about you in your life falls apart. You'll find that God has never left you. He's always been there. It's that we shut Him down. We don't pay attention where He's coming from. But you just start praying in the Spirit, and I got news for you. You'll start being, get to that place of illumination to where God can speak something to you and you'll do it. You know, God will speak something to you even when you're dried up. But guess what? You won't do it. That's a prophecy. That's a genuine one. If you dried up, if you're not energized, you're not fired up, you're as dry as cracker juice, it won't stop God from talking to you. He'll talk to you, but you know what you'll do? Yeah, I know. Yeah. But you don't understand my problem. There ain't anything that God doesn't understand. You're the one that brings confusion over your own soul. Oh, shut up. Oh, where's John? Oh, shut up, John. You know, when I was counseling at one time, I do you know what pneumonology is? It is a study of the mind of the spirit. Psychology is a study of the mind of the flesh. That's why psychology can't really help you, because psychology has no way of dealing with the strongholds that we develop in our thinking in life to demolish them. What psychology will do is tell you how to get around them. You see, and really, when you develop a stronghold, it's something that you rely upon. The stronghold is really called reasoning. It is considered a fortress and you become a prisoner of it. Because your prison is usually in your mind. And so the job of the Holy Spirit is to dethrone or to disarm your natural way of thinking so that His way of thinking has control of your life. And that can only come through your spirit. You sit and listen to a lot of ministers and you can tell right away what they are spiritually. And really, they're dish brains. They don't understand spiritual concepts. They don't understand the Spirit of God. You know what the Spirit of God is? Can anybody tell me? Every one of you should have jumped up if you're going to this church. What is the nature of God? Somebody said it. Good. Right there. Matter of fact, let's thumb that. It's love. The nature of God is love. And you have to, the only way that you can interpret Scripture is through His nature. That's why a lot of people don't understand end time events, because they're not trying to understand the movements of God on planet Earth through that nature of love. They think God's nature is destruction by rejection. Boy, when I saw that through trying to read the book of Revelation, which is getting clearer and clearer to me, I begin to realize that the only way you're going to understand that book is through the love of God. Because God will not do anything out of vindictiveness, just destroy rebellion. He wants life out of it. And so His love will go beyond man's comprehension. His love will go beyond man's rejecting Him. Because every phase of the book of Revelation about the wrath of God and judgment is to glean more souls. And can you imagine a man's heart being so defiled that even that won't turn him to repent before God? God has to give, love has to give humanity a chance. And so, if we're going to understand God and we're going to have His mind at work, we got to have an understanding of the Holy Spirit. He is the revealer, not controller. He is a revealer. We are to control our lives with His help. So, therefore, He says this to Timothy. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, notice the next verse. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know what this in the Greek means? It means God has given you a mind that will be under control. And we want to know why people are going wacko today. Well, there's not much anointing on the Holy Ghost out there in the souls of men. But God, when you get the whole baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are now a prime candidate to doing something about stirring it up, stirring that fire on the inside, stirring that life again, because the word for stir is anazo, which literally means to stir to life again. And that's what I was doing. I was dried up. I was out of fellowship with God, pastoring a church, not even in the world. Dead in the hammer. Didn't care to even go to a seminar. Get around somebody that's on fire and they rub me the wrong way. Why? Because I had this inner witness. They're right. You wrong. Or you can't get around. When you keep growing spiritually, the more carnal you are as a believer, you don't like being around spiritual people because they bug you. Why? Because there's this thing called flesh. There's this thing called spirit. And the two can't come together. I used to complain about my fellowship with people and why it wasn't better. And God says, well, dry up with them. Then your fellowship will be fine. Well, I can't do that. How about you? No, you're always going to find that the closer you get with God, you'll always run across those who ain't close to God. So what are you supposed to do? Rub your fire off on them. Tell them, quit waiting on God. God's tired of waiting on you. Anyway. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that's why he said in verse 7 here, 2 Timothy, he says, God has not given you a spirit of fear. And the reason he said that is because the verse before he says, stir up the Holy Ghost. He said, by the laying on of my hands. That wasn't referring to his calling. He did everything that Paul instructed him to do to put his ministry together. Because you find that they get this verse 6 here messed up with 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14 where it deals with his calling. They get those two verses mixed up. Boy, Paul had to stir up his calling. I said, I ain't stirring up his calling. He said, what do you mean? I said, what just came out of your mouth? You were sitting there telling all us ministers we need to be on fire with the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues. And I said, oh, you mean 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. And he goes, no, not that one. That's his calling. I said, his calling? I said, do I end up in fear because I've lost the fire for my calling? No, I'll tell you what, I end up with the spirit of fear when I don't pay attention to the Holy Ghost who helps put me on fire for my calling. And so I told him, no, that's talking about what just came out of your mouth. And he said, really? I'm going to have to look at that. I said, yeah, you're going to have to. Because I'm going to tell you here, it says Paul laid his hands on him. Over there about his calling, it says the elders laid hands by the presbyter and confirmed Timothy's calling. That's his calling. You know, ministers today, they think because they focus on their calling and their calling for their ministries, they're going to be a success in their ministry. No, what you do is you have to find out how the machinery works in humanity and focus in that as a minister of the gospel and do something about the people God gives you and how they function and work. Focus there. Your ministry will take care of itself. Because without people, you don't have ministry. You know, I already shared this with you. Remember, I think his name was Nimitz. He was a little dwarf guy, and he was a genius. He had a big head, a lot of brain. He developed the generators for the Ford Motor Company. And big turbines and things. And one day the plant shut down and all the workers started freaking out because the minute you shut that production line down, you start losing dollars. Astronomical dollars. And so they were trying to find the problem and everything. So they called on Nimitz to come and fix those turbines. And so he came and he was there. They said he was there like something like 5 to 10 minutes. Everything started firing up. Later on, Henry Ford got a bill from him for $10,000. And so he calls him up and he says, listen, you know, I don't mean to be, you know, really against you on the billing here, but, you know, for a few minutes of tinkering, you're going to charge me 10 grand? You must have been there 5 or 10 minutes tinkering around and all of a sudden everything fires up and you send me a bill for 10 grand? And Nimitz says, listen, he said, I didn't send you a bill predicated on the time that I spent fixing them generators, those turbines. He said, I charged you because I knew where to tinker. And so it said, Henry Ford says, I'll pay the bill. See, that's why ministers have to think of it. We have to give an account what we put in your soul. If you stand before God and you come off with this thing, well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit didn't need necessarily pray, speak in tongues. God's going to say, where's Butler? What'd you tell them? Thank God I didn't tell them that it was a tongue of the devil. Because those idle words will not be forgiven me because of the cause that it puts in other people. We as ministers, we need to be careful what we share with people. We need to be very careful. Even though we offend people, forget the offense. They have to deal with their offense. God don't have to deal with me. What I did not withhold, I declared the full counsel of God. So I'm off the hook, you people. So you have to pray in tongues because it will fire you up for God. And listen, people, I know what it's like to be dry. I know what it's like to be in the desert. I know what it's like to be in the desert. It's hard to sit there and start praying in tongues. Matter of fact, 1 hour of it while you're dry? My gosh, I would have loved for God to come down and go, what's that? I just inoculated you with the want to. You know where your want to is? Purely on you making a decision to do it deader than the hammer. Oh, shucks. Well, I can promise you one thing. Not many days hence, you might get a little spark. If you keep at it, you'll burn up that wood, hay, and stubble. You'll get rid of it. Well, you start praying in tongues. And guess what? When you seed your cloud, out of your belly will flow rivers. You're seeding your cloud. And when that wisdom falls on you, you're going to, wow. And it will come. You know, I think the most scared person we're afraid to look at is us. I wouldn't have a problem putting the spotlight on somebody else. But when I have to put the spotlight on me, I don't like it. Is something happening? So, no, they don't look angry. It's like they all walk forward like, we're going to protect you, brother. Hallelujah. You forget those people that don't believe in a separate, distinct act of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We covered them in the book of Acts. 4 or 5 different places. And it always said, for we heard them speak in other tongues. We hadn't even heard there would be a Holy Ghost. But they had truly had received Jesus. The people in Samaria had received Jesus. They received Philip the evangelist. Demons were cast out. There was a move of God. And then Peter and John found out they hadn't the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so they went down there and gave them the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What about Peter and Cornelius' household? God had to show him it's okay to go to a Gentile's home and get him filled with the Holy Ghost. He says the guy has got a memorial etched up here in heaven for his giving. I want you to go to him. Not that he bought his salvation, but he says this guy has a good heart. He said he's Gentile. I want you to go to him, Peter. And you know what? Peter got ridiculed by the council at Jerusalem there because he went to the Gentile. And all Peter said, hey, don't get mad at me. I saw a vision. I'm doing what God said. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, okay. That's why they sent Peter down to the province of Galatia wanting to know why there was a big revival down there. These four churches in the province of Galatia, they had these four churches. They were Gentiles, made up of Gentiles, and they were on fire for God. And they said, Peter, you're the one that seems to think it's okay to talk to these Gentiles about salvation. You go on down there and find out what's going on. And so he goes down there and walked into the city, and all these converted Gentiles on fire for God and everything said, hey, are you Peter? Oh, wow, one of the 12 apostles. You know, wow, we're glad to have you. Come on over to my house. I've got a leg of ham on the table for you. And Peter said, oh, really? Lamb? Leg of lamb? Yeah, I'll go there. No, I didn't say lamb, Peter. I said ham, Peter. Ham! You know, because the Jews wouldn't touch a pig. And so he goes out and he tastes the meat and hey, this is good stuff. You know? And then he says, oh, hallelujah. Oh, don't worry about the law. You feeling that bad? Don't worry about that, Peter. And Peter, he's getting freed up, getting rid of that old religious Judaism, you know. No more law to live under, but a changed heart. And he's happy and everything. And all of a sudden, the Judaizers come in. Where is Peter? Where is Peter? Why? Oh, there he is. He looks happy. He looks free. Well, they're Pharisees and Sadducees. I'm fair, you see, and I'm sad, you see. And so what did Peter do? He sees the scribes coming in. And he goes, oh, I don't want nothing to do with these Gentiles. You know what Paul did? You don't do that with Paul. He came in there. And who did he attack openly? Peter. What kind of a nutcase are you? He said, first of all, I'm the head of all these churches. I freed these people up in Christ. And you came in here, and he says, and you're compelling them to live like a Jew? He says, they weren't even Jews. And you're compelling them to live like a Jew. But yet you were free with them and then turned about. I rebuke you, you hypocrite. And so, you know the story. Then the council decided, they went to Peter and some of the other apostles said, hey, listen, get Peter into a meeting with us. We'll let him know where we're coming from. That's the way religion is. They try to friendly you up and get you sucked in. And they desire you, but not for good. And so they get into this meeting with Paul. They said, Paul, you know, where did you get all this river land? Got on the backside of the desert. I was caught up to the third heaven. And I saw things that only Jesus could tell me. So Jesus is the one that taught me. I'm the apostle after his spirit, not his flesh. Oh, is that right? Well, that's nice. Yeah, they believed him like they did a box of rocks. And they said, well, we want to tell you something. Paul says, hey, look, you can't add anything to me. No, not for 1 hour. I mean, if you sit in the presence of God in the third heaven and he's sitting there giving you all this information that could not come from mankind, what are you going to sit there and say? Well, I'll go back to Jesus and say, Jesus, are you sure about this? Well, I'll tell you what. Paul was different. He learned to follow Jesus after the Spirit. Why? He believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He believed in speaking in tongues, and he used it to his advantage. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. But in a public service, if everybody is speaking in tongues and you don't understand what it is, and it's a language that's given for you to talk to God, why are you talking to man if they don't understand what you're saying unless you interpret what you're saying? He says, otherwise, I thank God I pray in tongues more than you all. Well, where do you think Paul had the time to pray in tongues? He walked from one destination to the other, to the a long walk. Well, I believe he was praying in the Holy Ghost all the time he was walking. Building up his most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. What does it mean when you pray in the Spirit, you build your most holy? It means you're having your inner man communicating with God. You know what? I left my office this morning because I go and meet with everybody in the prayer room. This morning, I don't know whether anybody caught it, but the minute I opened them doors and walked in, they were all praying in the Holy Ghost. Pam and Maxine and everybody get up in there and Harvey and them, and they're all praying in the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, it was just like a wave of the presence of God hit me. And boy, when that happens, everyone starts looking to me to pray. I just shut my mouth and let them flow with their praying. Because they got the mind of God. And boy, just feel the presence of God and how we're all together and just praying for this service. And I'm sitting there, oh my gosh, what is it that would not want a believer to be in that kind of presence? I'll tell you what, dried up. I know what it means to be dry. I've been in a church service, drier than cracker juice. Sitting there just dried up. And everybody breaks out. There's a move of God. Everybody's flipping over. And I'm sitting there, I don't feel a thing. If I could see in the spirit realm, I could see the Spirit of God moving through everybody and just kind of lump over me. Because of my attitude. Well, I didn't feel nothing. You didn't feel? No, I didn't feel nothing. All them in flesh. Just flesh. Well, I think I'm hearing flesh. So what was the object of my message today? Pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Keep yourself fired up in the things of God. Don't let that natural mind start talking to you. He's not your friend. He's a part of you. Gee, you're kind of schizophrenia. Yeah, I am. There's one side of my soul that's not a part of the other side of my soul. He's schizo. Yeah, he is. He even admits it. I am schizo. There's a natural side to me. There's a spiritual side. Hallelujah. That's the side I know needs renewing. I was taught, you know, my whole upbringing, I was taught that your natural mind is renewable. And I looked at books, read many of them, read all the books you could read on best there is. And you're still didn't understand mind renewing. Remember how we talked about it many times, Harold? We sit and communicate. We came to the conclusion that it is your spiritual mind that's renewed. Because once it's separated and has its distinct own identity, all it ever knew is what it was in the natural. And the Holy Spirit now says, time to relearn. And that's why you'll find all kinds of scriptures says your inner spiritual mind is the part of you that's renewed. And then there's all kinds of scripture. I have many believers hit me with it. What does it mean here that the carnal mind can't be renewed? It can't. It's made up of the senses. Matter of fact, it has that sin nature in it. Well, the sin nature entered the spirit of God, didn't. It entered the man's physical mind. Scales were removed. Where are you at, Adam? Oh, I feared you. Who told you you was naked? Something took place. His natural mind got that nature in it. Passed it on. Thank God he didn't get it in our spirit. Thank God for that. We are redeemable. Why? We're spirit. First Adam was made a living soul. It meant he was made to live forever. He inherited death through the fall. That nutcase. Stand up, everybody. We're going to quit. Hallelujah. 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 You know, we're not going to have an altar call on praying in tongues. Every one of us, we're going to do something about our tongue. Amen? We're going to make a decision to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, it'll fire you up. It will fire you up. It might take a little bit of kick, you know, kick starting. You know, what if you got a motorbike, you know, and you kick started at one time. This ain't no work, and you just throw it on the ground. When brand new motorbike, you just kick started at one time. You got to sometimes have to pump that sucker twice. Two or three times. Hallelujah. But don't give up. Hallelujah. And God isn't going to come down and make you pray in tongues. Hallelujah. You have to make the decision. You have to make a decision to pray in the Spirit. So now I'm going to do something I've never done on Sunday morning. I want all of you to start praying in the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes and start praying in the Holy Ghost right now. What about those that come in that are unlearned and everything? They already left by now. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Just start praying in the Spirit right now. Rivers of living water come out your innermost being. Hallelujah. Pray fervently in tongues right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're all talking to you, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. 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 Ambarata, ila roche, ila roche, bedi andara bedi, e ashandaha, e akomai andada. Hallelujah. O rabashete dege, ne la roche andara. O rabashete kedede. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 If there's anybody here in this service that has never really enjoyed the fullness of the baptism of the Spirit by speaking in other tongues, feel free to step out and come forward. We won't do anything to embarrass you. Hallelujah. People won't look down on you as having anything any less than us. But praying in the Spirit gives us an advantage. Now, if you're all filled with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. What greater honor than a minister has than to be able to say, you are blessed when you speak in other tongues and a language. Come here, sweetheart. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. They are going to have a safe trip home. Devil, you're not going to touch one of them. They're free to come here and free to go home in peace in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen. I have an announcement for you.